Give you just a little brief background of myself, so you can kind of get acquainted with me. I'm Harold Warren. I'm out of Wichita Falls, Texas. And we've been employed with Dow Welding. It's a division of the Dow Chemical Company for almost 20 years now. Seems almost like a lifetime. I guess it's the only life I know. But we have four children and just became the grandparent here about 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I guess it did. 2 weeks ago. And certainly this has been a new adventure for us. But I think as I think back in my own early Christian life, I was raised in a Christian home. I came into a Christian environment. Came to know the Lord when I was about 9 years old. But as many of lives of men, I accomplished very little for about the next 20 years. And I began to wonder why it was that God was not using me. I was a member of the church, singing in the choir. Tried to sing in the choir, I should say. And then we taught a Sunday school class. We were on the board, church board, and being involved in the things of the church. And this is good. But if Christ is not motivating us, not backing us, then it becomes all of my works, and I was accomplishing very little. I think I was possibly doing it just for the approval of the people that I was involved with. But as many times as it is, God has to get us down and we can kind of look up to Him. And this was my situation, that He had to put me in the hospital. And during this time, I began to evaluate my life as to what I had really accomplished in the light of eternity's values. And the first thing that came to my mind was, what is the things of eternity's values? And the only thing I know that's going to last forever is men. Am I involved in the lives of men? Am I reproducing myself? And I began to try to think back, and I began to think, well, possibly, or maybe, maybe I was involved in maybe someone coming to know the Lord, and maybe through one of the Sunday school classes I taught. But really being able to put my finger on definite commitments that people had made, I had accomplished very little. And so I began to wonder what it was in my own life that was causing me not to be a real disciple of Jesus Christ. And I began to think of the scripture. I was not a very good student of the Word of the Bible then at that time, and still not, but I could remember one sermon that I'd heard many, many times. It said that the fields were ripe into harvest, but the laborers were few. And I began to think, well, Lord, what's the matter here? Here I am, a pretty strong man, and full of energy, and I think that I am qualified to be a laborer of yours, and why that you're not using me? Why that I have not accomplished something for you that I can put my finger on and say that this, I have been involved in the things of the Lord in the lives of men? And as I begin to think back, well, what is a laborer? And I begin to think that certainly one of the qualifications that we who are in the business world and we have men working for us, or we are involved in working for other people, one of the first things of a laborer is that this man or this individual is taking orders from someone else. He spends some time with an individual so that the individual can communicate to him. Well, my problem with the Lord is that He was not able to have any time to communicate with me. I was always busy. I was entangled with the affairs of the world. I was not able to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ because of the entanglement of the things of the world, and I didn't have any time with Him. So therefore, I could not qualify as a laborer. And God said, well, now, until you begin to spend some time with me as a laborer, and be able to, so I can communicate unto you, then I cannot use you. He said, and the illustration I use many times is that the Lord wants me to go over and work in the South 40. I've got to spend some time with Him, and the best time for me to spend some time with Him is in the morning. He might direct my path, and then go over there and particular view. In other words, God has to, he has to direct our life. If God is not directing our life, he cannot use us. The other thing is, I begin to think of this thing of the qualifications of a laborer. There was the other thing. This was the thing that this man had to be as skilled with the tools of the trade. As a man goes out into the fields that are ripe in the harvest, the grains are just ready to fall out into the ground, and the man has to handle these with tender care. He must handle them with the sharp tools of the trade. Certainly in our type of business, we train our people. We instruct them with the tools of our trade, and then we send them forth out into the oil field, and they go out and work for us. But in the spiritual aspects, the tools of the trade is the Word of God. And as I began to evaluate my own life, I could not get a good grasp on the tool of the trade, which is the Word of God. And so it was just like the Lord wrote shown a big slide projector and put it upon the screen, said, "I warn you, whenever you get yourself qualified as a laborer, you begin to spend some time with me so that I can direct your life. When you begin to get a hold of some of the tools of the trade, the Word of God, you begin to study the Word of God, begin to memorize it, then I'll give you." And you know, fellas, I found this out as I begin to evaluate the lives of men who have an effective walk with the Lord. These two things have always been present. And I'm convinced that you and I cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ unless these two things, these two aspects of our life, are planted deep within us. Now then, as we look into the thing of how I can be a true disciple of Jesus Christ in my business or in the life of the profession that God is calling me into, or He has called me into, I think that one of the verses that comes to my mind was the one that, Wayne brought out this morning. And when he said, over in Joshua 1:8, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest learn to observe and do according to all that is written therein." And then he said, "I will make your way prosperous and make you have good success." In the business world, this is the thing that you and I are basically interested in: how I can be prosperous and how I can have good success. As Joshua was fixing to go over into the land of Canaan, he was going over into battle. He was going over into fight. And you and I get involved in the world. We're involved in business. We're involved with the element of the world around about us. And if you or I are ever going to be prosperous, if we're ever going to have a victorious life, it's only as you and I meditate on the Word of God. But God, He has promised this. And just as Joshua was promised this, Joshua had to start off by faith. This is the way you and I had to start off by faith. And Joshua went over to cross over to the Jordan River. He had to put his foot down into the Jordan River before the waters rolled back. And this is the way you and I, we must walk by faith. Colossians 2:6 says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so go ye on walking with Him." And also we find this same parallel scripture over in Psalm 1, and he tells David these same principles. He said, "Now David," he said, "Blessed or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth at the seat of the scornful, for his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." But now he said, now the conditions here are, fellas, that if you will separate yourself, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things." And he said, "I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters." In other words, you and I are going to be involved in the world. We're going to be working in the world. But we do not have to be intimately associated with our friends, our relationship, our close friends must be with those who are Christian, these people who love the Lord. We are to work in the world. We are to be a witness in the world. But we are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers either. And he said, "How can two walk together unless they be agreed?" These are some of the principles, basic principles that you and I in business, that we must follow. So we see here in Psalm 1 that we are not to be, we're to come out from among the world. And then we are to meditate on his word day and night, just like he told Joshua. And he said, the results of these conditions, if you and I fulfill these, then he said, "I will make you like a tree planted by the rivers of water." And this is a picture to me of unlimited resources and unlimited strength. He said, "I'll make it like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in due season." And certainly as a disciple of Jesus Christ, and wherever he places us, we will bring forth fruit. We will bring forth fruit in due season. He says, and your leaf shall not wither. In other words, you and I will always exemplify Jesus Christ. Wherever we're at, in whatever environment we're in, whatever type of business we're in, our leaf will never wither. And he says, whatsoever ye shall do shall prosper. And as you and I begin to follow the vocation that God has called us into, or the business world in which we're in, or the investments, or the business enterprises which we're in, these are conditions that God has promised to bless, and he will not bless anything but this. And then as I begin to think that in this situation that God has ordained the plan to use men in this world, now I think that even in the physical harvest of the things of the world, of agriculture crops, it must be men that get out and toil the ground. It's men that plant the ground, seed. And it's men that brings in the harvest. And so it is in the spiritual aspect. It's God that provides the resource. He provides the power. But God must have men. He must have you and I to go out and to be involved in the reaping of the harvest, or being involved, God gives us the opportunity to be used in this thing of being disciples of Jesus Christ, being his witness here on this earth. And remember, he chose Abraham. And he says, out of Abraham, he said, I'll make out of you a great and mighty nation. And also Jesus declared the importance of whenever he was here on this earth. He said, I must be busy about my Father's business. Paul, he encouraged us not to be slothful in business, that we're to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And I think also in the scripture that we will look at in John 15 here in a few minutes, but I like to think that this thing of being in partnership with God, he says in John 15:16, he said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And I feel like that we whom God has chosen to be his own children, he has also chosen and ordained us, or placed us in a very specific sphere of a working environment, or the world in which you and I are God's only missionaries. I think you and I have a unique ministry, a unique abilities, a unique talents, that we alone are responsible for certain areas of life in which God has placed us. He said, I have ordained you. He said, I have chosen you and I have ordained you and I have placed you in this particular environment, this particular sphere of life. Now then, he said, I want you to go and bring forth fruit. As a partner with God, he said, I want you to bring forth fruit. And when I begin to finally realize that God had placed me in the very area of life in which I found myself, I used to think that I had to extract myself out of this job which we have, which is 24-hour call, 7 days a week, and I just couldn't see how God could use a man that was so involved, or with his time was so tied up with the physical things of performing this job. But the sovereign God knows what would be my environment, but he also knows that there are particular people in this area of life that I will come in contact with and that I must minister unto. So God has given me the unique privilege of being his partner or his representative in a very particular area of life in which I find myself. I'm not saying that I will always be in this particular area of life, but at this particular time, I feel like this is God's plan for my life. And I think that you and I should accept God's place that we find ourselves. And we should go and bring forth fruit. And certainly our fruit should remain. I like the idea that Wayne brought out here this morning, that we need to follow up on any fruit that God gives us. This thing of multiplication is the only way that you and I can be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Stay with these individuals and see that these men grow and mature in the Lord. I'll tell you this is a very costly ministry. It takes time. Whenever you raise children, you spend all your time raising children, but the finished product, if you do a good job, and of course the Bible has told us that we train a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he will not depart from this. Whenever you and I train our spiritual children in the way in which they should go, when they get spiritually mature, they will not depart from it. So, I also like to think that in this thing of being in partnership with God, that God has provided, he has provided the capital for us. God is the owner of our life. He's the owner of everything that we have. He may not possess our life, but he is the owner. The illustration that I use is that before we are Christians, God, He is the owner of our life, but he doesn't possess my life yet, because I have not invited Him in. In my business world, in the vocation in which I find myself, God, He already owns this, but does He possess it? Have I committed it unto Him? And certainly I think this is what God demands of us. He demands that He not only be the owner, but He's also the one who possesses our life. And also in following up this aspect of being in partnership with God, I think one of the first things we find that in this partnership is that we must be totally committed unto God. Luke 9:23 says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And this thing of being totally committed is a prerequisite in being a disciple of Jesus Christ. There's a story told of Cortez that whenever he landed on the shore of Mexico there, and he brought all his men, took all his supplies, and everyone got on the shore. Then he sent one man back out, and he set fire to all the boats, all the ships that were out in the channel. And as all these ships burned, these men knew that they had committed their lives to America. Certainly, this is what I feel like God demands out of us when He says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." We don't think it's strange that the communists who go out and train their people that they become dedicated, committed, and they're committed to a cause. We don't think it's strange that these people would be wholly committed. We don't think it's strange that a man in the armed service would go out and give his life for the cause of his country. But we somehow or another, we do think it's strange that God would require a man to give of his life, give himself for the cause of Christ. But really, this is what God demands out of us. And as we look into the illustration of the life of Abraham, we find that Abraham, he had to offer up Isaac. And I think sometimes we are reluctant to think that God would ask us to give back to Him something that God has already given to us. But in the life of Abraham, God gave Abraham Isaac. But now then I want you to give him back. And this is what God demands out of us. Anything that we have, certainly it is a gift of God. But God says, I want you to give it back. I want you to give this to me. When He says in Luke 9:23, "If anyone will deny himself, let him take up his cross daily and follow me." You and I must deny all selfish ambition, all selfish goals. And then when He said we must take up our cross daily and follow Him. And as Wayne brought out this morning, that this cross is certainly not just a emblem that we put on our coat lapel. It's not something we hang around our neck. This cross of Jesus Christ is not some sorrow, not some sickness. I don't think it's an infirmity in the flesh like Paul had. But this cross is an instrument of death. And I often think of the instrument of death which we have had here in the United States in the past, which is the electric chair. It says, "Look, take up this electric chair and crucify yourself." In other words, forsake yourself. Put yourself in this chair. Then, He said, you can follow me. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." And also over in Romans 12:1-2, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God." And as Jim and I were talking here yesterday, I think it was, that we was thinking of, Jim brought out the thought of this sacrifice, which is a picture of the sacrifice in the Old Testament. When this sacrifice was put on the altar, and the sacrifice would begin to jerk, the fire began to consume the sacrifice, and they had big flesh ups that they kept this sacrifice on the fire so that it might be consumed, fully consumed. And these flesh ups are flesh ups of dedication and discipline. In other words, we must be dedicated. We must be wholly committed unto the Lord. We must discipline ourselves. We must deny ourselves each day, every day. And this is not a once for all condition. This is something that you and I must take up our cross daily and follow Him. Also, I would like to bring now to your attention to a passage of Scripture that has meant an awful lot to me. It is John 15, and I'd like for you to turn to it. And this will be the workshop part of our class. John 15, and be 1 through the 17th verses. And this is the a very familiar passage of Scripture. This is a passage of Scripture on the parable of the branch and the vine. And for me, this is sort of the key to the Christian life, or the true discipleship, or the Christian living the life, or the Spirit-filled life. There are several terms that we can use. And I'd like for you to look through this passage of Scripture here very quickly, if you would. And we'd like for you to pick out the key word. John 15, if you have your Bibles. Look for the key word and also the objective. What is Christ trying to get through to us here?
Just the one word?
The key thought...
Abiding in.
Alright. I think this is the key to John 15. Abide in me, abide in Christ. And what is the objective here now? I think possibly if you look in the 5th verse, maybe the 8th verse, and then also 11, 12, and 14. Here are some verses that you might look into. We're abiding in Christ, but now what is the objective of this abiding life? Let's look at, I think there we're looking for abiding in Christ, and we're looking for production, and there are two types of production that I find in this passage of Scripture, and one of them is reproduction, and one of them is the inward life, or the fruit of the Spirit. And John, the 5th verse there, said, I am the vine, you are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So we find here that in through this verse, that we are to go out and reproduce ourselves. In other words, we are to produce like kind. Also in the 8th verse, says, here is my Father glorified, that ye bear forth much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. And also in the 16th verse, we have the same thought, that you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. So, now then also I think the inward fruit of this abiding life would be found in verses 11. These things I have spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So here we find that not only are we to reproduce ourselves, this abiding life in Christ is also gives me the inward fruit of joy in verse 11. Alright, in verse 12, this is my commandment that ye love one another as I have loved you. I think as you and I take on this abiding life, we take on the family characteristic of God, which is love. First, we have the love of the Father in us. We have the love of Christ, and we have a love relationship with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. But then also as this family characteristic of God, which is love, comes in and abides and dwells in us, we also find that over in the 17th verse, it says, these things I command unto you that ye love one another. So as the love of God in us becomes real, then it becomes a life that we begin to love one another. So we find here, and I think this whole passage of Scripture is the objective of it is production in the life of my own life of becoming more like Christ, enjoying the things, the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, which says that the fruit of the Spirit with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, goodness, meekness, temperance. He said, against such there is no law. As you and I abide in Christ, this is one of the inward fruits that you and I enjoy. But then also, as we abide in Christ, we have the outward fruit of reproducing ourselves. Now then, there is an illustration here that I have found very, very helpful for me. And this is the illustration of a Christian living a life or a true discipleship. Analyze this passage correctly. The objective of this passage is production. And to illustrate this, I have drawn this wheel. And this wheel might indicate or might be an example of the Christian living a life or true discipleship, or how can I, in the life that I have found myself, that God has ordained or He has placed me, how can I be a true disciple of Jesus Christ? How can I get production? How can I reproduce myself? How can I exhibit the life of Christ? And we find that the key word is abiding in Christ. Now look at John 4th verse and the 5th verse of this chapter, John 15. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So we find that the power source of the Christian life is Jesus Christ himself, and as I abide in Christ, then the power source of my life is the abiding life, or the as I abide in Jesus Christ. So in the illustration of the wheel, the hub or the power source of the Christian life is the abiding life in Christ. It says in John, in the fifth verse is that without him I can do nothing. So I say it is as a branch abides in the vine, this is how the branch produces fruit. This is the power source of the Christian life. In the business world, it is God that provides the resources. He provides the wealth. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He owns all the gold and silver. He owns even the life that I have. This God, He has the resources, but God wants to empower us. He wants to motivate us. He wants to give us the power of Christ, which we said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now then, I want you to look at verses 3 and 7. Now we're looking here for what would be the thing that would transmit power from the hub to the outer surface of the wheel. You know, the spokes are the things that transmit this power. According to verse 3, what would be the power source here?
The word which has spoken.
All right. Is now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And verse 7, he said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and shall be given unto you. So we can write here, one of the power spokes of the Christian life, the Christian living life, or the true discipleship would be, how much time does he spend in the word of God? It is the word of God that cleanses our life. Over Psalm 119:9-11, we find this verse. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? It says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And just like he told Joshua, he said, if you'll meditate on my word day and night, then he said, I'll make your way prosperous. Then I'll make you have good success. So it is through the word of God that you and I find the cleansing of the sin in our life. It is through the word of God that we find the power source of our life, that transmit the power from Jesus Christ himself as we abide in him As the word has an effect in my life, then we give power to the outer rim or to the source or to our life as the Christian life. All right, now then, I want you to look again. And what would be another spoke in verse 7 and also the latter part of 16? What are we commanded to do here now? All right.
So we can trust prayer.
And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Over in John 14 says, hitherto if ye ask nothing in my name, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And over in 1 John 5 it says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that if he heareth us, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. As you and I abide in Christ, we can pray in the will of God. God hears our prayer, and then this is how you and I get a balance in our Christian life. This is how we transmit the power of Jesus Christ to our own lives. This is how you and I become a productive Christian life. How you and I live a productive Christian life. All right, now then, we got two more spokes. We with two spokes, you don't have very much power, do you not? So there must be something else lacking in our life. So let's look at verses 10. What does verse 10 have to say here? Obedience. All right. Someone else have another word?
Faithful.
All right. To be. All right, let's write down the word obedience. Also, we find in verse 14, you are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. And then also in verse 17, these things I command you that you love one. So as you and I abide in Christ, this abiding relationship is made available as you and I keep his commandments. As a branch abides in the vine, and we do this by one of these spokes, is by being obedient unto what God has told us. And we are not to be conformed to this world. Over in Romans 12:2 it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That God wants to prove to you, or he wants to show you what is his good will, and what is his acceptable will, and what is his perfect will. Now what he's saying, he said, don't let the world squeeze you into their mold, but let me conform you unto Jesus Christ. See, in other words, allow the word of God, keep his commandments, that you might conform unto Jesus Christ. This is what it means by keeping his commandments. And this is what it means over in Psalm 1, that if we meditate on his word day and night, that as well I allow the word of God to have an influence or an application to my life. You know, I was a Christian for 20 years before I ever began to realize that one of the keys to the Christian life is application. Somehow or another, I went to Sunday school, I went to church, and I knew a little bit about the historical background, about the events of the Bible, but it never dawned on me that it was application was the thing that God wanted me to actually do with his word. I used to think that it was a Christian life was a series of do's and don'ts. And it got to the point to where my Christian life was something that I knew I had to have, but really I wished I didn't have it. Because there was no joy, there was no fellowship, it was a matter of works. But God wants me to obey him, so that I might take on his characteristics. And as I abide in him, as I keep his commandments, I abide in him. And as I abide in him, then this is another one of the spokes that transmits power to the effective Christian life, to the Christian living life, to the life that of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Now then, we got
one more quote.
And look into verse 5 and 16. Now, what would you think this would be? Got any thoughts on what would be the spoke then in verse 5 or verse 16? What is the parallel from the first part of 16:5? Mm-hmm. All right, we are to be a witness.
So the other spoke of the effective Christian life would be witnessing.
I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. He said, You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. I word in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to him that asketh of the reason of the hope that is within you, with meekness and with fear. I word in 1 John, it says, these things which I have seen and heard declare ye unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us. For truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So I feel like according to John 15 here, the balanced Christian life, or the true discipleship life, in any area of life in which you and I find ourselves, must have these four spokes. We must be abiding in Jesus Christ. We must have some time at the Word, prayer, witnessing, and obedience have an effective part in our life. And as we allow each of these to have their place in our life, then we abide in Christ. And in the power that Christ has, then he said, I will give this unto you. As over in John 14, as he was going up to be with his disciples, and he says, I'm going to send unto you another comfort. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. And he says, the very works that I have done, you can do. And even greater works, you can do, because of he that is within you is the power source. In other words, as you and I abide in Jesus Christ, we have available to us all of the power, all of the resource of power that Christ exhibited while he was here on earth, the same power that he had, you and I have. Now then, do you have any questions on this so far as to applications? How can you apply this to your own life? How can you apply this to your business life? Let me go on one more thing, and I like where you look at verse 6. Now then, we have talked all the time on the positive aspects of the Christian life, of the life that abiding in Christ, we see what the effects are, and as you and I abide in Christ, we find that we will be obedient, we will witness, we will have time of prayer, and we will have time for the Word. But if we do not abide in Christ, in other words, if we do not take up our cross daily and follow him, if we do not discipline ourselves, if we do not dedicate ourselves to the Lord, then we are not abiding in Christ. According to John 15:6, what is the result of a life that does not abide in Christ? All right. 15:6 reads, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now this is not speaking of your spiritual relationship. You and I are saved. We are a child of God. We are born into the kingdom of God. This whole chapter is talking about reproduction, production of Christ living in us, and abiding in Christ. Now, the negative thing is true, that if we do not abide in Christ, then we will not witness, we will not be obedient, the Word of God will not have any place in our life, prayer will not have any place in our life, therefore we will not bear forth fruit. And according to 15:6, we find that we are cast away, we are cut off, we are withered and then gathered us, and our life's works are actually burned. We become as nothing. We have accomplished very little. And I think in what Corinthians speaks of this as a life that is under dishonor. Over in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul speaks of this way. He said, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation of gold and silver and precious stones or wood, hay, and stubble, but every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, and it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's works." And in other words, you and I, according to the scriptures that we've read, we are given the opportunity to abide in Christ. But if we fail to abide in Christ, we build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Now the foundation of Jesus Christ is sure, but we can build upon this with wood, hay, and stubble. And then our life's works will actually be burned, will actually be lost. And I believe, as Jim said, that this there is a doctrine that is based upon John 5, about the 14th or 15th verse, which is the sin unto death, which is continual, habitual rebellion against God. And this is also spoken over in about the, I think it's the 5th chapter of Corinthians, of the rebellion against God. And it said, because of this rebellion, some of you even sleep. Some of you are even die at an early death. Over in Proverbs, it speaks of he that often of being reproved in the heart of his heart, suddenly he shall be destroyed and without a remedy. I think that if you and I fail to abide in Christ, then God takes away the talent, he takes away the ministry which he has given to us, and places it in the hands of someone else, and this someone else has the privilege of being a disciple of Jesus Christ in the area of producing the fruit of the Spirit, or producing the things that God wants us to produce. God does not force us to abide in him. He gives us this privilege to abide in him. And if we abide in him, then we will bring forth fruit. Also there in the John about the, I think it's the second verse, if we do produce fruit, what else can we expect God to do for us there? The latter part of verse 2. Every branch in me, the latter part there, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And what do you think it means here for the Lord to purge us? To cleanse, all right? What are some other words that we might use for purging?
Correction.
All right, he takes away the unnecessary things. The superficial things, does he not? He gives us more in an effective, efficient type of life. So as you and I grow in the Lord, we can expect God to purge us, to take away these sins that would so easily beset us. Paul said, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And let us lay aside every sin, our weight that would so easily beset us, that would cause us to deviate from the very plan, the very purpose that God has chosen us." And in the business world, I feel very strongly convinced that God has chosen me. He has ordained me. He has chosen you. He has placed you in the very area of life in which you find yourself. Now then, the question is, how can I produce the fruit that God wants me to produce? To me, it's very simple. As I abide in Christ, and as I abide in Christ, and this is a daily walk with the Lord, that God, he says, that he will accomplish that which he has started. In Philippians 1:9, he says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." And if I will abide in him, if I will meditate in his word day and night, then I can claim these promises. Then as I abide in him, I will abide in prayer. My prayer life will have its right place in my life. As I abide in Him, the obedience, the application of the Scripture in my life will be in right perspective. The Word of God, I will have a love for the Word of God. Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." Do you and I really? Christian life is learning how do I obey, how do I witness, how do I pray, how do I have a quiet time, and it's this thing of abiding in Christ, see? Allowing Christ to forsaking all and to following Jesus Christ. You have any questions now we want to discuss here? Anything you want to bring up? Certainly, as you begin to get into the area of witnessing, I think one of the places that you and I must begin to witness is Acts 1:8, when it says, "And after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, first in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world." If you and I, if we are to ever have a witness in the business world in which we find ourselves, I think it's first got to begin at home. Acts 1:8 says that you shall receive power and you shall be witness unto me first in Jerusalem. In other words, this is an indication of me at home. If I do not have a good relationship with my wife, with my family, if I am not living the Christian life before my own family, I can have very little witness to the business world in which I live. And if my relationship with my family, if I am creating a Christ-centered home. And over in Deuteronomy 6, He has given us this promise that we should He tells us that in Deuteronomy 6:7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, which is the word of God, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be a frontlet before thy eyes. And thou shalt write them on the post of thine house and upon thine gates." And it goes on. Down the 11th verse, and the product of all this is in the beginning of the 10th verse. He said, "I will give you great and godly cities which thou buildest not, houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, and vineyards of olive trees which thou plantest on, and when thou shalt have eaten and be full." In other words, what he's saying here is that if you and I will be a witness unto our own children, that we will give them a godly heritage, we will give them wells which they don't have to dig, cities which they didn't have to build. In other words, you and I can train up a child in the way they still go, and when they are old, they will not be parched. If you and I have a witness like this, then this gives us a springboard in which we can go and witness to those around about us in our business world. And then as we witness to them, then God gives the opportunity to even witness to those to the Samaritans, so to speak, to those whom possibly we don't like, or the minority groups, or people that kind of rub us the wrong way. Then he says, then you shall go into the uttermost parts of the world. And so I think that in our witnessing, this is our witnessing first must begin at home. Any question now? Well, let's stand. We'll be dismissed and go on to our next workshop. Lord, we thank you now again for this privilege of sharing your word. And we pray, Lord, that as we claim the promise of Isaiah 55:11, "So shall thy word be that goeth forth out of thy mouth. It shall not return unto you void." But Lord, you said you would accomplish that which you please, and shall prosper in the thing whereunto you have sent it. We thank you, Lord, we can claim this promise. And we pray, Lord, that this few words which we've said and might have application in our own life, Lord, and that we might conform to the image of Jesus Christ. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen.